nothing that's grim,
nothing that's Greek.
She plays Medea later this week.
Stunning surprises, cunning disguises, hundreds of actors out of sight.
Pantaloons and tunics,
courtesans and eunuchs.
Good morning, everybody. It's Saturday, September 30th, and you're listening to Backstage here on WZBG. I'm Eric, your host. As always, I am thrilled to be with you, and it's a very exciting morning. We've got a lot to talk about, not the least of which is that tomorrow you should join us for the Friends of Main Street's Fall Foliage Festival and Car and Motorcycle Show. It's tomorrow, October 1st, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Main Street in Winsted, the 23rd annual Friends of Main Street Fall Foliage Festival and Car and Motorcycle Show. WZBG and our own Dale Jones will be broadcasting live from 10 to 1. You can bring your friends, you can bring your family. There's going to be crafters, vendors, local businesses, live entertainment, kids activities, plenty of food, and of course the Car and Motorcycle Show organized by Well Done Detailing. It's going to be tomorrow, Sunday, on Main Street in Winsted. Join us as we broadcast live from 10 to 1. We'll see you there. It's sponsored by the Northwest Community Bank, West State Mechanical, Superior Plus Propane, and Hartford Healthcare. So always something exciting happening, and we are glad to be bringing it to you. Speaking of exciting things that we're bringing to you, I'm thrilled this morning to be joined by representatives from Landmark Community Theater, who are here to talk all about their upcoming production of The Rocky Horror Show. So this morning I'm joined by Michael Gonzo Gonsalves, who plays Dr. Frank N. Furter, and Katarina Lavasser, who plays Janet from the production. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to have you both here. Excited to talk about it. I'm a big Rocky fan. I discovered Rocky in middle school, which might have been a little too young, but...
tracks.
You know, I got into theater, and theater people and Rocky right, kind of, right. You know. So love the story, love the show. It's just, it's campy goodness. And it's coming to the Opera House, and you're opening next weekend?
No. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Next weekend.
October 7, right?
Yep.
Oh, here's my notes. Yep, October 7, 6 or 7?
7.
7? Okay, my notes are wrong. October 7 going through the 28th, so that's a nice long run.
Yep.
And you have a bit of a different schedule for your shows than we would normally think, right? Because you're doing the regular like 8 o'clock show.
Yep.
Yep.
And then you have midnight showings, from what I understand.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. I'm excited to get back to them, honestly. But yeah, so that'll be what's that? The Saturdays, except for opening, are mm-hmm. all midnights.
Okay.
And then every Friday plus that opening on the 7th, that'll be at 8 p.m.
Okay.
Oof. It's going to be fun,
it'll
honestly.
Be interesting. I've had a lot of people say they can't come to the midnight show because they don't know if they'll make it. I'm like, I know you guys are scrolling on your phones till 2 a.m.
Yeah.
You're up.
We're all up that late anyway. And it's kind of a Rocky tradition. I mean, yeah. It goes back to the midnight showings at the movie theaters mm-hmm. that helped launch it into cult status. So it's a lot of good times. But before we really get too much into Rocky, I do have to say that since Katarina here is a first-time guest on Backstage, we have to talk a little bit about her and how she got involved in theater and her journey. So Katarina, tell the folks out there, what's your story? How'd you get involved in theater and how'd you get involved in Rocky?
Well, I moved around a lot in high school, so I got involved in theater my junior year, a little bit later.
Okay.
And it's actually funny because the first two shows I did, I got the leads in, but it was also high school theater.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of gave me the confidence to continue. And then once I got out of high school and started doing community theater, I realized how different it was.
Mm.
And I, you know, played it safe for years, just... I have always been grateful to be in the ensemble, but that's just been my experience so far of, you know, I'm not going to go for lead roles because I'm comfortable in the ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually wasn't going to audition for Rocky. It was a last-minute decision. I've been performing at the Thomaston Opera House for quite a while,
mm-hmm.
and I knew Rocky was coming up, and I had friends who had done Rocky, so I knew about the subject matter, and I love the movie. I also got involved, or saw it very young, probably way too young to even understand it. But I don't know if I understand it fully now.
I was gonna say.
But yeah, I was like, I don't think I could ever do Rocky, just because, you know, my family comes to my shows and what would people think and all of that. I would have to really open myself up and be vulnerable, which is scary.
Sure.
And then something just switched, you know, a few weeks before auditions, and I was like, because I'm scared of it, that's why I have to do it.
Yeah.
And not only was I starting to get excited to do Rocky, I was like, I'm going for Janet, mm-hmm. and I'm going to give it my all, and, like, this is a turning point for me in theater and just as a person, because it's a big confidence thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had probably one of the best auditions I've had in years, and it took me looking in the mirror before I left the house and saying, you are Janet. Mm-hmm. You've got this. I had to hype myself up, and it worked. It really did. So that, you know, I've always, I think, secretly wanted to do Rocky, but it's scary. And once I decided I was going to go for Janet, I realized, like, I can't have any reservations about the show or
right.
the part.
Right.
I have to fully dive in, and that's what I've done so far, and it's been, nothing has been uncomfortable up until this point, so mm-hmm. it's been a really nice surprise.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's probably a good moment to mention to the audience out there, if you're not familiar with Rocky Horror, it is, let's call it provocative.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a very good way to put it.
You know, you're going to see people that are they're clothed, but, you know, they're not exactly clothed modestly. There's going to be references and innuendos and things, so maybe it's not great for the little ones.
No.
Definitely not.
You know, but adults certainly can love it. Teenagers can certainly appreciate a good chunk of it.
Yep.
and enjoy it. So maybe just leave the little kids at home for this one, especially if you're going to the midnight show. Because it's too late for them to be up. You know. But, well, that's amazing. You know, and I think you speak to something that sometimes people don't always connect, right? That in school, if you're doing shows and you get certain kinds of parts, that's awesome. And then when you come mm-hmm. to the community theater world, you know, it's a bigger pool of talent, and you might not get those parts right away, but that doesn't mean you could never get those parts, right?
Right.
You keep working at it, you keep trying, you keep honing your craft, and every show is different. You know, you might not be right for one cast for one part, but in another cast, at a different part, it works out great. So mm-hmm. Don't let one missed out on part color your whole experience. Mm-hmm. You know, keep
yeah.
coming back. That's how we're going to keep
yes.
this stuff going. But anyway, I digress. We're talking this morning about the Rocky Horror Show, which is coming to the Thomason Opera House, thanks to our friends at Landmark Community Theater. And I also forgot to mention, I'm giving away a pair of tickets to see the show later on in the broadcast, so make sure you stay tuned for that. So we've heard a little bit about Katarina and her theatrical journey. Gonzo, it's great to have you back.
Yep.
We were talking before the show. The last time you were here, it was for Love, Sex, and the IRS, which was at the Opera House.
Yeah.
And you were doing some drag for that.
Gives me the distinct pleasure of being, I wouldn't say the first, but certainly both times I've been here and on this show, it's been because I'm about to be wearing high heels and women's clothes in some form.
Yes.
But.
Well, maybe Love, Sex, and the IRS was your sort of like preparation for this.
Oh, no. I couldn't remember if I had talked about it when I was on for that, but I've done Rocky a couple of times.
Okay.
So, in fact, that show, the hardest part about wearing the high heels was pretending that I couldn't walk in them.
Mm.
those were a lot shorter, a lot easier than the ones I wear for this one.
Yeah, Rocky Horror, they don't skimp on the heels
no.
that the fellas end up in. So,
I mean, the problem is we've got, you know, a fairly tall Brad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yep.
And so at the end of the show, when it comes time to be in the floor show, and he's in a bit of high heels, too. He gets way taller than me. So I said, no, we can't have that. So I got some slightly bigger ones for that.
Oh, my.
Just to really even pump me up higher. And I've only stumbled in them once thus far.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, keep knocking on wood. I haven't fallen in a performance yet.
Okay.
There's always time, but, you know, no injuries.
Yeah, I've done heels once. It was a fundraiser event, and it is, And maybe it's because as a taller person, it completely changes things for you, but it is not easy. So hats off to you for being able to do any kind of heel, let alone giant heels. Gonzo, do you want to tell the folks at home a little of what the storyline is for Rocky Horror, in case they're not familiar with it?
Okay. Well, first I have to discern the story from it.
It gets a little complicated.
It does. You could argue that there's not much of a story other than just a fun rock and roll musical. Mm-hmm. But I guess the basic plot would be you've got Brad Majors and Janet Weiss. To quote the narrator, two young, ordinary, healthy kids, right? So they're freshly engaged, very much in love. They take off one night to go see an old friend of theirs. And on the way, their car breaks down in the middle of the woods.
As it does.
And so, you know, as a lot of stories, a couple of them good, most of them bad, begin on a dark and stormy night. They stumble on up to this just creepy castle in the middle of the forest there, looking for help. And next thing they know, they're face-to-face with Dr. Frank N. Furter, a bit of a mad scientist with... How would you describe his apparel, necessarily? Non-typical apparel, I guess.
Gender non-conforming.
Yes.
Who's about to reveal his creation... A living, breathing Frankenstein's monster of a man.
Mm.
Except instead of being, you know, pale, corpsey, he's buff, tan, and with blonde hair.
There you go.
And, yeah, the story, I guess, would just follow kind of their descent into, I would say, like, not really debauchery, but this... It's kind of a... an awakening to this side of the world that I don't think the two of them ever had even considered existing.
Kind of a walk on the wild side, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, I've got a couple personal theories about the actual meanings of the show, but they all revolve around that idea of your two, like, 1940s, 1950s sock hop kids.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. No offense.
That's fine.
Yeah, you know, but your two sock hop kids just growing up and now seeing, you know, my theory is that it's actually a story about music history in Great Britain.
Oh.
And I have a couple points on that, but none I could formulate necessarily into.
Sure.
But you get these kids just experiencing rock and roll and, you know, drag performance and sort of just this wider world outside of the doors of their, you know, local soda shop or wherever they would go and hang out. And it's just kind of this descent into that where, at the end, I mean, everyone else kind of just takes off with no explanation and leaves the two of them sitting on the ground, confused, afraid, the world somehow completely different than it was when they went in. So,
And it's... a loving sort of send-up of a lot of those 1950s B-horror movies, the sci-fi drive-in kind of stuff. And I think there's always been sort of a morality thread that runs through a lot of those, right? It's the good, virtuous kids that always do okay, and it's the less virtuous types or whatever that end up in big trouble and whatnot. So this maybe you're right. Maybe this is sort of like a putting it on its ear kind of a thing. This morning, to help give us a break from the chit-chat from time to time, I have the soundtrack from the motion picture, the 1970 whatever it was motion picture with Tim Curry, Barry Bostwick, Susan Sarandon, Meatloaf. That's how I first came to this, and that's kind of what I love. So I'm going to spoil myself a little bit with this. So why don't we take a pause here? We'll listen to the opening number, Science Fiction Double Feature, which alludes to all these sci-fi tropes that kind of pop up throughout the movie. And it was, what's his name, the creator?
Richard O'Brien,
who was the creator of Rocky Horror, who played the original butler, Riff Raff, the hunchbacked butler, the Igor, if you will. And I believe he's the one that sings this opening number, although it wasn't his lips.
Nope. It was Patricia Quinn's lips. Mm. She played Magenta.
Yes. So here it is from the original motion picture soundtrack of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. This is Science Fiction Double Feature.
Michael Rennie was ill the day the earth stood still, but he told us where we stand. And Flash Gordon was there in silver underwear. Claude Rains was the invisible man. Then something went wrong for Fay Wray and King Kong. They got caught in a celluloid jam. Then at a deadly pace, it came from outer space. And this is how the message ran. Jeanette Scott fight a triffid that spits poison and kills. Dana Andrews said prunes, gave him the runes, and passing them used lots of skills. But when worlds collide, said George Powell to his bride, I'm gonna give you some terrible thrills. Like a
Richard O'Brien with Science Fiction Double Feature from the Rocky Horror Picture Show motion picture soundtrack here on Backstage on WZBG. And I'm talking about Rocky Horror this morning because it's coming to the Thomaston Opera House thanks to our friends at Landmark Community Theater. It's opening October 7th, running through October 28th. And I'm joined this morning by Michael Consalves and by Katarina Lavasser, who are from the production, Dr. Frankenfurter and Janet, respectively. So, Katarina, you said you were a little nervous about diving into Rocky Horror because it is provocative, mm-hmm. you know, and you are on stage exposed in a variety of senses, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're acting and you're sharing your emotions and whatnot, but also the costuming mm-hmm. is probably a little different from a lot of shows that you've done.
Just a little bit.
Have we gotten to the costume part yet? Have we started putting on the outfits and whatnot?
Yeah. Oh, well, we've done a costume parade and we've all tried on our various costumes at this point.
But. Okay. So I'll start with you, Katarina, because I think it's going to be a very different conversation with you, Gonzo. What's it like to be that laid bare? I mean, you're not going to be naked on stage, clearly, but to be, you know, it's sort of like if you were to get up in front of a school assembly in your swimsuit kind of thing.
Right.
So have you gotten accustomed to that idea?
Yeah, I think, again, when I decided I was going to do this, I knew what the costuming would be. Mm-hmm. And we haven't necessarily run through the show with our costumes, which could be a little bit different, but even just trying them on, really the most uncomfortable part is the heels, the floor show heels, because I also am not good at, I've been practicing in them.
Okay.
But it's funny that you say, you know, standing up in your swimsuit, I'm more covered than I would be. Mm-hmm. If I were wearing a swimsuit, but it's iconic, the you know, slip and bra combo. It's kind of empowering in a way, and I had to become comfortable with it right away. Mm-hmm. I knew that I wanted to dive into it as much as I could, and I don't know. I haven't had any uncomfortable thoughts about the costuming thus far, but I'm more so just excited to see everyone's costumes on stage. And even the Transylvanians, like, everyone looks so good in what they're wearing. And I'm excited for to see all of us together, but I love my costumes, you know. Really, I'm very much covered in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I have, like, the sweater and the dress and everything, but I think my favorite costume is when I get a little bit stripped down. Okay. So yeah.
Gonzo, how about you? Because Frankenfurter runs the gamut.
Yeah,
in terms of outfits.
I mean, thanks to being live stage and everything, I can't do as many costume changes necessarily as the movie.
Sure.
But, you know, breaking it down in the movie, there's only four or five main ones. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I will be spending, like, this entire show just in heels, fishnets, some panties, a corset, mm-hmm. And basically, and don't forget the arm warmers. I do have arm warmers.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Covers
but
it up
yeah,
a bit.
That's pretty much it. And honestly, though, I don't think I've ever necessarily had, you know, any misgivings about this. Like, Rocky Horror was my first show ever back in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And I was Riff Raff in that one, so he wears a bit more than I do now. But I've been Frankenfurter a couple times, and it was just cool, I get to do this now. For me, it's like, I don't think I've ever sat and thought about, oh, is it weird that I'm wearing this? Is what's going on? In fact, I remember I used to, in between shows in New Britain. Back then we would do like an 8 p.m. and a midnight, same day. We would have two in a day. So we'd finish up the 8 p.m. show, have maybe an hour off before having to reset everything, redo all everyone's makeup, mm-hmm. get back up there for the midnight. And I remember at the time just, you know, standing outside in the October air, middle of downtown New Britain, basically just in that, maybe with my jacket on over top, you know, just cooling off and relaxing, having a bit of a breather.
Mm.
And I don't think I ever looked at it and said, is this weird that I'm doing this? Is this normal to be doing? But
well, I think weird and normal are words that take on new definitions when you get into theater.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Anything goes, really.
You know, it's with different strange props that you might have with you, or costume pieces or characters and things. It's just all one big menagerie of unusual.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, so I've got all those. I do have the one thing I'm pretty proud of, it is my leather jacket.
Okay.
For Act 2, really. Mm-hmm. So it shows up kind of in the same place in the movie. Tim comes out in this, Tim Curry comes out in this leather jacket just studded with pins and Hell's Angels patches and mm-hmm. just a bunch of other stuff. And I looked at it the first time. This is actually my second version of the jacket that I have now.
Oh.
I wanted to be screen accurate the first time around.
Okay.
So I tried my hardest, and then I realized, oh, I can't put a lot of those patches on this jacket, even if it is screen accurate. One, I can't get them. Two, I wouldn't want to wear, you know, anything like that because I'm not part of the Hell's Angels or anything.
Right. There's some iconography there that's a little...
And a lot of it's very dated culture. Mm-hmm. So I went back and I remade it, and at this point, I've put literally hundreds of dollars of enamel pins on it because, well, what I'll do is I'll load it up, and then at the end of a show, I might take a couple, give them to some of the cast members if they have a particular favorite,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, the next time I'll have to buy more.
Yeah.
So, but I really like that jacket, honestly.
I'm sure the audience is going to love it because I'm sure it plays really well up on stage. So, holy crow, it's 9:30. So we should probably pause for a moment to get to some announcements and what's the buzz and things like that. We're talking this morning about Rocky Horror, which is coming to Landmark Community Theater at the Thomaston Opera House. It's opening on October 7th, next weekend, running through the 28th, Friday nights at 8, Saturday nights at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Am I getting that right? There we go. You can go to landmarkcommunitytheater.org for tickets and info. So we're going to pause here for a quick word, then we'll come back with What's the Buzz. And after that, I am giving away some tickets to the show, so make sure you stay tuned.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. 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 What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
All right, let's talk about what's going on in the theater world, shall we? First up, we have performances. Goshen Players have announced their production of All Is Calm, an a cappella musical about the Christmas Eve truce of 1914. It's going to be running November 25th through December 10th. I believe tickets are now on sale, so you can go to goshenplayers.org to find out more. As we've been talking about this morning, Landmark Community Theater is doing the Rocky Horror Show over at the Thomaston Opera House, opening October 7th, running through the 28th. You can visit landmarkcommunitytheater.org for tickets and information, or stay tuned, because after What's the Buzz, I will be giving away a pair of tickets. Phoenix Stage Company is putting on a production of Memory Box. That's going to be running October 13th through October 22nd. Go to phoenixstagecompany.org for information or tickets. TheatreWorks New Milford is in the... they just opened last night, their production of Scotland Road. That's happening now, running through the 14th of October. Check out theatreworks.us for more on that. And the Warner Theater will be hosting their International Playwrights Festival on October 13th and 14th. Two nights, different shows each night, each show, you know, between 15 and 30 minutes. So you get to see a few different plays if you go one night or if you go both nights. It's all a good time. You can check out warnertheater.org for more on that. And that is the buzz for this morning here on Backstage. We're going to pause for another quick word from a sponsor. And then we will be back with more of Backstage, and I'll be giving away those tickets, don't forget.
She's a paranormal investigator, interacting with the spirits of the dead and hunting ghosts at America's most haunted locations. Amy Bruni, star of TV's Kindred Spirits and Ghost Hunters, visits Torrington's Warner Theater Thursday, October 5th. Her hair-raising tales will make you question everything you thought you knew about the spirit world and life after death. Get tickets now at warnertheater.org or call the box office 860-489-7180. Don't miss a haunting evening with paranormal expert Amy Bruni, October 5th at the Warner Theater.
And we're back here on Backstage on WZBG, and I've got a pair of tickets that's eligible for, I believe, any performance of Rocky Horror Show over at the Thomason Opera House, thanks to our friends at Landmark Community Theater. So if you're interested in attending, and you have not won anything from WZBG in the last 30 days, you are eligible to win. All you have to do is call into the station, 860-567-3697. That's 860-567-3697. FM 97. I'm going to give them away to a random caller, and in the meantime, why don't we listen to perhaps the song from the show? This is The Time Warp.
I would like, if I may, to meet you on a train.
It's a sounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
To the left.
And then a step to the right.
With your hands on your hips.
You bring your knees in tight. But it's the pelvic thrust that really drives you insane. Let's do the time warp again. Let's do the time warp again.
It's a dream.
Keep a grip on yourself, Janet.
Janet!
Dr. Scott!
Janet!
Brad!
rocker.
I knew he was in with a bad crowd. Damn it. I knew I should have gotten that spare tire fixed.
What diabolical plan had seized Frank's crazed imagination?
The intruder is entering the building, Master, master.
That was the Time Warp remix, and it still goes. The Time Warp remix off the motion picture soundtrack from Rocky Horror Picture Show here on Backstage on WZBG. And congratulations to Kathy from Torrington. She is our winner of that pair of tickets. We had a lot of calls. If you didn't win the tickets, I do apologize. I'd love nothing more than to give everybody that calls tickets, but we just don't have that many to give, and theaters do need to sell a few to make some money. So if you didn't win the tickets, consider buying a pair of tickets, going to see it, or as many tickets as you want, really. It's opening on October the 7th, running through the 28th, just in time for the Halloween season, the spooky season. And it's not, I don't think it's a scary show, Rocky Horror. It's not going to, you know, it might be unsettling at points, but, you know, there's no, like, crazy maniac with a chainsaw running around.
There's surprisingly little actual horror in Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the horror might be more psychological of these two kids being exposed to things that they were always isolated from. And while we've talked about the two of you, Michael Gonsalves playing Frankenfurter, Katerina Lavasser playing Janet, we haven't really talked about the rest of the cast. And it's a big cast. It's a good-sized group you've got here. You've got Kate LoCascio and Rachel Glander playing usherettes. Mm-hmm. Blaise DiMedungo?
DiMedugno,
excuse me. Blaise DiMedugno playing Brad, opposite you, Katerina. Jonathan Jacobson playing the narrator. Mm-hmm. Great guy. Love Jonathan. Dylan Ryan playing Riff Raff. Julia Nelson playing Magenta. Nick Commons playing Rocky. Matthew Benson playing Eddie. Jonathan Ross playing Dr. Scott. And a large group of Transylvanians. So quite the cast. Katerina, you are opposite Blaise. You know, Janet and Brad go together like peas and carrots. Have you ever worked with Blaise before? Did you know Blaise before all this?
No, not at all.
Okay, so this is a new experience
for
you. And how's it been finding that dynamic between the two of you?
It's been great. I believe we're the same age, maybe like a year off, but we've, you know, connected really well. I think Brad and Janet, we spend a lot of time, you know, once we enter the castle, we kind of are parked on stage right, just watching in horror, and a lot of it is, you know, me grabbing Blaze's arm and just being like, what is happening? So, you know, we've gotten close in that way, but I think with the whole cast in general, everybody has bonded really well.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need to.
Yes.
Otherwise, you know, it's a different experience. But everyone's been really open. And like I said, I decided to dive into the role. Everybody has also done that. And that's really important for this show. So it's been easy to connect with Blaise, with Nick, too, who plays Rocky, because I do have a few intimate scenes with not necessarily Brad, you know, we're more of that innocent connection, but you know, with Gonzo here and with Nick, I have, you know, a little bit of a different experience, but everyone has been wonderful, and we have all been very good about boundaries, and you know, we went through intimacy training because it's that type of show, and everyone's been wonderful and very comforting.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's been, I think, a positive development in theater over the last mm-hmm. 5-6 years, is this concept of going through intimacy training and having sometimes a dedicated, like, intimacy coordinator in the production there, because it can be very awkward, you know, when, mm-hmm. okay, you're somebody I know somewhat, we've rehearsed together, but we have to kiss on stage, or we have to, you know, be in an intimate situation on stage, and that can be challenging for some people, depending on comfort levels and boundaries and things like that. So, Gonzo Frankenfurter is a character that sort of spans a variety of spectrums, we'll put it that way. And so you have moments where you're up close and personal with Janet, with Rocky, with Brad. Do you find a major difference in establishing intimacy between people of different sexes or genders, or is it always kind of the same concept? Just,
well, so I guess for me, and how I kind of interpret, you know, the Frankenfurter character, it's, there's not much of a difference between any of it. It's, you know, to get into his head in those moments, it's just very much a, of course this is what I'm going to do, because, hi, have you met me? You know? Like, I don't think he's too bothered either which way. Mm-hmm. I, Gonzo the performer, do try and stay very, you know, very detached from that idea, but, you know, when you're in the moment and it's just, it's where it needs to be, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But no, I never had much of an issue with any of that, I don't think, right?
No, you
get to watch whatever I'm doing when I'm doing it. I never get to see my own self.
Like I said, we're all comfortable with one another. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I haven't known Blaze prior to the show, but, you know, Gonzo has been changing my mic pack for shows. I always make the joke with him, I'm like, sorry you have to touch my sweaty body in previous shows, but now it's...
I think we're past that now.
Yeah. See, we've been leading up to this show.
It's true for everybody. You
next
know,
show you're in, I got to change your mic pack, you're not going to be apologizing.
Yeah,
right?
It'll
be
like, I was like, just do it. Here, you know what to do.
Come on, I don't have time to waste.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though, like, you know, I've done that for you, for Blaze, mm-hmm. you know, for Dylan Ryan, mm-hmm. Jonathan Ross. And I didn't have to do it for Jonathan Jacobson, though. I did assistant direct Sound of Music, which he was in.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was Captain Von Trapp, yes.
So seeing him come out to audition for, to go from seeing him as Captain Von Trapp to seeing him as the narrator in Rocky Horror. And I believe at the first read-through, he even did a couple of the callbacks. and just having that moment of, oh, wow, I don't know why I didn't think of you like you'd be into this. But to me, he was, you know, Captain Von Trapp in my mind. Yeah. But, like, I've worked with a lot of these people before, so... But never on stage. Mm. You know, I've been the sound guy for them for a bunch of shows. But so I'm just real excited to be up there, you know, acting with them and getting to do this with people who've only ever known me as just a sound guy. I think it was Shelby who looked at me one day and said, Gonzo, you act? I thought you were just a sound guy. Oh, man, I got to get back on stage now.
Right? Just a sound guy. First of all, just a sound guy is an insult to all the sound technicians that are out there who do an incredible job, because it's not an easy task to balance all the microphones and the orchestra mm-hmm. and the sound effects and the ambient noise. And, you know, to do it live, it's not like the computer just does it all for you. You're pushing the buttons and dialing the knobs and things like that. So just a sound guy. Come on, people. Let's get with it. This is the 21st century. Have some respect. But that's community theater, right? Mm-hmm. The person who's running your soundboard today might be the person who's starring in the show next month, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's great to see people excelling in different areas and have those opportunities. So it's almost 9:48. So here's what we should probably do. We'll pause for another song. We'll come back with the weather. And then we'll start to wrap things up, because this hour is just going by at warp speed here. So we're going to do a song. This is a song that I really like, because I think it's one of the most beautiful music moments in the show. It's called Over at the Frankenstein Place.
Yes.
It's very simple.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of great musicality to it, and the music nerd in me just geeks out a little bit when this comes. So here from the original motion picture soundtrack for Rocky Horror Picture Show, this is Over at the Frankenstein Place. That was Over at the Frankenstein Place from the original motion picture soundtrack of the Rocky Horror Picture Show here on Backstage on WZBG. And it is, what time is it? 9:51. So we should talk about the weather. So I'm going to throw it over to Gonzo and Katarina. Take it away with the weather, please.
Okay, so today, periods of light rain and showers continue through early afternoon before ending, remaining cloudy, damp, and cool, possibly until late Sunday, and the high with 55 to 65.
Mm-hmm.
I said that right?
You did.
Okay.
Tonight, partial clearing, low in the 40s. Sunday, mostly sunny, pleasant, high 70. Sunday night, clear, low 50s. And Monday and Tuesday, sunny, warm and pleasant, high 70s.
And it's currently 53, 54 degrees here at our WZBG studios in Litchfield. Not a great weather weekend, but that's okay, you know. Good weekend for actors to stay indoors and rehearse.
Yes.
And do all the technical things that need to get done.
Yes.
Because I imagine with Rocky Horror, there are many, many technical elements that have to come together in just the right way. So we haven't mentioned your director, Chris Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Gonzo, off the air, you were saying that you've worked with him on this particular show in the past.
Yep. You know, that first Rocky Horror that I mentioned back in 2011, that was with him as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of my entry into it. So, you know, this show and specifically his version of it kind of just has a very special place to me as being my first show, being my introduction to this. And in fact, it's kind of how I wound up out here in Thomaston now. They did a haunted house back in 2020,
yes.
Like a socially distanced haunted house thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw he wanted to put up a little tableau of Rocky Horror stuff, and I said, oh, hey, do you need any help? And he said, yeah, come on out. So I went out, met everyone, and yeah, that's how I got to meet Ian, the technical director over there, and he looked at me one day and he said, all right, hey, Gonzo, you mind running sound effects for this? I said, sure. A couple shows of that, he said, hey, Gonzo, you're mixing Kinky Boots. And I said, I'm doing what now? I've never done this before in my life. Are you sure? He goes, nah, you'll be fine. And you know, when was Kinky Boots? 2021?
Spring? Yeah, it was October-ish? It was one of the first shows coming out of the pandemic restrictions.
So, like, you know, so I've been there since then. And I wouldn't have been here in this room right now if it weren't for Rocky Horror, I guess.
Mm. So Rocky Horror is to blame. I see. All right. Rocky Horror. No, that's awesome, though. And, you know, there are those moments where you meet directors that you really enjoy working with, that you're very synchronous with in terms of how you think. So that's great that you're able to come back and be with them again. Katarina, how's it been for you? Because I don't imagine you've worked with Chris before.
I have.
Oh, actually, you have.
Yeah, I worked with him. I actually at the Thomason Opera House. You know, dates before COVID are all just jumbled to me. At some point, I did Rock of Ages at the Thomason Opera House. I was very young. I was 18.
I feel like that was 2017.
That sounds right. That sounds about right. And actually, a few people from that show are working on Rocky Horror now. So the girl who was playing Sherry in Rock of Ages is our costumer, Danny Kay. So it's just cool to have all the connections, because I think with Chris Ryan, he has, you know, a group of actors that come back to do Rocky over and over and just come back to work with him. But
sure.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a different experience working with him now that I'm older and I see his method of let's get the work done, let's get right to the point. And I like that because then we get the show running as quickly as possible. And, you know, that's where we are now. You know, we have a show and it feels like we're in good shape. And
I mean, well, we've done full runs for like the last week of rehearsals.
Wow.
I think.
Which
is real early, I
does
think,
not happen.
I feel.
So I think that just seeing that and seeing how it's flowing already before Tech Week, it makes sense, just his methods and how he works. And it's been great. Like I said, not only the director is very important, but also just the people who come out and just the mix of all of it.
This cast has been fantastic, honestly. Because it's been a while since I've done a Rocky with like an entirely new group of people, new to the show, new to me, new to the director. So to see it where it is now, you know, it feels real good. It's a good, real good cast.
Yeah.
What's been, and I'll throw this to both of you, what's been the most unexpected part of this whole process? The thing that caught you off guard, it hopefully in a positive way, but, you know, in any kind of a way.
I mean, I guess for me, just honestly, there was this moment, you know, maybe the first week or so in, where you're looking around and no one knows really what's going on because it's brand new to everyone. So
sure.
I think what caught me off guard was how quickly, like, that switch just flipped in a bunch of people's heads, and they went from, I don't know what's going on, I don't know what I'm doing, to here we are, this is the show. And it's just that immediacy of, you know, finding where it lives, where it gets to you.
Sure.
Yeah. I think for me, it's just been, you know, back to my original point, proving to myself that I could do not only a show of this nature, but to, you know, be a leading lady and feel completely confident in that. I remember after our first read through, you know, typically with a read through before we start rehearsals, you just read through the script, but I didn't know we would be singing that day, sitting down singing around the table. So that was news to me. I was like, oh, okay, we're singing today. But that was, honestly, I'm so glad that happened, and that was unexpected because it broke the ice for everyone and for me too. And I just think throughout this whole process, I'm, you know, there's always imposter syndrome, especially for performers. We are, you know, we're being perceived by people we don't know and people we do know.
Wait,
and
you tell me people are going to perceive me?
Yes.
I didn't sign up for
in
perception.
in a very unique way. But, yeah, just proving to myself that, like, I can do this and that I should keep doing this after, you know? So that's not necessarily surprising, but I guess I'm surprising myself with how comfortable I am with Rocky and this role. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. It's 1958, so we're pretty much out of time. So I want to say to Katarina and to Michael, I want to thank you both for being here. Something you
should
need to add?
Should we say the thing? We forgot to mention the...
Oh, yes. We do have a discount code.
Yeah.
Oh. Are you permitted to give that out?
We are.
Yes. Okay.
We are, yes. Specifically.
Okay.
So we have a discount code that is specific to midnight shows.
Oh.
So this code can be used for any midnight show, and it does not expire.
Okay.
So that is unique to this code in this show. The code is...
Horror.
There you go.
H-O-R-R-O-R.
As in Rocky
Horror.
Yes.
There you go. A discount code if you want to check out one of the midnight performances. It's Rocky Horror Show. It's at the Thomaston Opera House, thanks to our friends at Landmark Community Theater. Opening October 7th, running through the 28th. Friday nights at 8, Saturday nights at midnight. And we just gave you that discount code. All the big news breaks here on Backstage on WZBG. Katarina and Gonzo, thank you so much for coming in this morning. It's been a real pleasure. Break legs with the show. Looking forward to it. I hope everyone out there is too. Just enough time to give you a snippet of one more song from the motion picture. This is a shout out to my friend Ed Geisa, who introduced me to Rocky Horror way back when in middle school. This is Hot Patootie. Have a great week, everybody.
You're tuned to FM 97.3 WZBG, Litchfield, Torrington, and the Farmington Valley.